You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. In 2014, the Madison Metropolitan School District implemented a new behavior education plan aimed at trimming down the suspension rate out of school and giving kids more learning time in school. The move reflects a national trend to strip zero-tolerance policies from the books.
In Madison, out-of-school suspensions across the district dropped 32% in the first three quarters of the school year. But racial disparities went up, according to recent reporting, with African-American students getting 62% of all suspensions this year compared to 59% the previous year.
Micah Matthews is a former special education assistant in Madison's Tokie Middle School. He recently wrote a piece about the new policy, saying it leaves teachers busy handling behavior issues and results in schools that don't feel safe. He's with us in studio now. Micah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So why are you concerned with the discipline issues that you saw in Madison's Tokie Middle School that you feel reflect the district's new behavior education policy?
Mm-hmm. My concern is that while it sounds good on paper, in practice, it ends up making it feel like the students are in charge because there very often aren't real consequences for bad behavior. And so then teachers end up feeling powerless. The adults in the building don't really seem to have any real control because the students know that they can kind of get away with stuff.
Now, you wrote that you felt that you had to kind of protect the kids that you were working with from behavior in the halls. Not that mm-hmm. other students were trying to attack them, but that the halls were unruly. Can you give us some examples of the kinds of behavior that you saw and that you're talking mm-hmm. about?
Yeah. So kids would quite frequently just skip class and run around the hallways. And so the hallways end up being chaotic. And kids are getting in fights. And when there's fighting going on, when it's a physically aggressive place like that, just being in the hallway is dangerous. I was working with a boy who was physically disabled and very fragile. And so just being around kids who were engaging in dangerous behavior, being very physically aggressive, just being around that is unsafe.
Now, you said that the teachers you felt were not able to offer up real consequences when they confronted this sort of behavior. Mm-hmm. Why not?
It seems to me like while the teachers tend to know what's best for the students because they're the ones working with them, they don't have control. And it's like you can only carry as much weight as the ground beneath you will support, and the ground beneath you is the school's administration. The administration kind of decides how much control teachers will have over their classrooms. So if you're a teacher and a group of students decides to get out of their chairs and walk around and be disruptive, perhaps even begin fighting or something like that, or they're cursing at the teacher, there's just not much that the teacher can do.
Now, you spoke to some students at Tokie Middle School where you were a special education assistant, and they told you that they were worse, their behavior was worse mm-hmm. at school than it was outside of school.
Yeah.
What did they say?
These kids that I spoke to, like many of the students who were consistently engaging in bad behavior at Tokie, they were good-hearted. When you interacted with them, when you looked at their eyes, you could tell that they weren't bad kids. They were just, you know, doing whatever they could get away with. The problem, I think the fundamental problem with this approach to discipline is that there aren't clear boundaries. And I think middle school students, though they themselves are not aware of this, need boundaries in a school. And so, yeah, when I spoke to these kids, it was like, you know, they were choosing not to do their work, and they were being disrespectful to teachers and to me. And so I said, what are you going to do when you leave this place and you can no longer get away with behaving this way? And they said, when they left, they wouldn't act like that anymore because they knew they wouldn't be able to.
So let's see. Let's say a student is behaving outside the parameters. What would happen to that student who is unruly mm-hmm. under this new policy?
Well, first, I think one of the first difficult factors is that at any moment in a school like Toki, there could be a lot of kids engaging in the same sort of disruptive or unsafe behavior. And so it's just about impossible to address everything. But then if behavior is addressed, for instance, a very common occurrence, if a student is upset about something or does not wish to do work or is fighting with a classmate, they might get up, throw something, and run out of the classroom. In which case, the teacher would pick up the phone and call what was called reflection, which was a cell phone that would either be carried by the security guard or the vice principal or some other member of staff who dealt with discipline. And if the call was answered, if that person wasn't already dealing with something else, they would try to find the student and then either bring that student right back to the class where the behavior would be repeated, or they would speak to the student about what they did. And I heard a few of those talks, and it tended to just kind of sound like a rehearsed lecture about, you know, being in control of your body and, taking charge of your education, you know, whatever, something that didn't mean much to the student. And so they knew that they could do this, and all they would have to do as a result is sit through a brief talk, you know.
We're talking right now with Micah Matthews, former special education assistant in the Madison Metropolitan School District. He's joining us to talk about his recent opinion piece in the Capital Times newspaper saying Madison Public Schools' new behavior education policy isn't working as he sees it. Now, proponents of this new plan say that this kind of plan, it takes more time mm-hmm. because it's not simply removing the student from the environment and letting mm-hmm. the school, the class continue without that student, but it's reincorporating them so that that student has a chance to learn mm-hmm. and that investment is something that needs to happen to really give the kids a chance to change their behavior. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that?
I like the sound of that, and I think this approach to discipline is well-motivated, and I think it has a good heart. But when you actually see it in practice, while the theory is that it will keep kids in the classroom learning, what actually happens is that it creates chaos in the classrooms. And so nobody's learning. And the teachers are always dealing with behavior problems. And so they're not really able to teach. I think if something like this were to be successful, and I'm sure at some schools in the district it is, it would require outstanding leadership within the school itself. You would need the kind of principal who could communicate with kids just with his or her eyes. The kind of principal where the kids say, oh, you better stop, you know, they're watching us, right? That person doesn't exist at Toki. And so if this approach to discipline relies on communication with the students and, I don't know, mutual respect, you need someone in the building whom the kids respect in that way, you know?
The school district has said that they will be allocating more resources, it sounds like, in the coming years. Do you think that would help address some of the issues that you see here?
I don't think so. I have, you know, read emails, like district-wide emails that Superintendent Cheatham would send to the staff, and the tone of it usually sounded like, I mean, like, for instance, at the end of the school year, there was an email, and it was like, congratulations on a great year. You know, I've heard some people are upset about, you know, certain aspects of this policy. This is not verbatim. But, you know, we're going to put resources into, you know, training teachers and this and that. And it just seems not to actually be addressing the issue, which is that the teachers are quite powerless. And it's not a matter of how well trained the staff is. It's a matter of how much control the adults in the building have. Even the security guard has no more power than the teachers. And so when I say that it feels like the students are in control, it quite literally does feel that way.
And again, this sort of thing reflects a national trend to strip zero tolerance policies from schools to lower the rate of out-of-school suspensions. Mm-hmm. How important is it to the service, the mandate of public schools to serve all children, to lower that rate of out-of-school suspenses? Is it a worthy goal?
Absolutely. I think it's incredibly noble to pursue that and essential. And I absolutely agree with a policy that tries to decrease the number of expulsions, because we know that when a student is expelled, I mean, they might not be accepted into another school, and then it's just a downward spiral. But I think we need to address the behavior, right? So if we're looking at the numbers for this past school year, and the numbers tell us, well, this is working because there are fewer suspensions or fewer expulsions, that's not because the behavior was better. It's because the behavior wasn't really being addressed, you know.
Micah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Micah Matthews, a former special education assistant in the Madison Metropolitan School District. He joined us to talk about his recent opinion piece in the Capital Times, saying Madison Public Schools' new behavior education policy isn't working. We're talking now about how to handle behavioral issues in schools right now. Madison Public Schools have a new policy aimed at keeping kids in the classroom and away from out-of-school suspensions as much as possible.
And we want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. How do you see issues of behavior and discipline carrying out in your local school district? As a parent, as a teacher, administrator, maybe as a student or recent graduate yourself, where do you draw the line between wanting to keep kids in the classroom as much as possible versus getting them out of that classroom if they're disrupting education for everyone else? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. Jerry is joining us from Northwest Illinois. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, thank you. What do you think?
I'm just wanting to comment that I agree with the gentleman who wrote the piece in the Madison State Journal, Wisconsin State Journal. I come from a long, long career of being a behavioral interventionist in a major urban school system in the Midwest. But here's what's missing in regard to any of this discussion. The tolerance that we have in public schools for maladaptive behavior and inappropriate behavior in the classroom, tolerating screaming at the teacher, tolerating acting out, throwing objects at the teacher, use of obscene, provocative language, that translates when it's not challenged appropriately by school officials, that translates into behavior out in the community where we know that we have these inappropriate exchanges between police and young adults and teenagers. So that's something for people to be talking about.
And Jerry, let me just jump in and ask you, what about the argument that this approach takes more time? It's not a quick fix, removing an unruly student from a classroom. This is something that requires more investment, but it's maybe a worthy one.
Well, it's worthy when there is adequate support. But again, the gentleman you just interviewed indicated that clinically there needs to be a lot of support to implement a model like this. And very typically, in urban school systems, the support is lacking.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Jerry.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We go now to Lori with us in Madison. Lori, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. I think that the kids that aren't acting out in the classroom deserve the type of classroom instruction that they're in and deserve not to be disrupted by those that are acting out. And those that are acting out may be in need of a different structure. Maybe it's just not working for them, the type of situation that they're in. They should stay in school, but maybe they're not being offered like the hands-on type of learning opportunities that they need.
Lori, have you experienced this firsthand?
Yes, I am a retired special education teacher, and I think they're just, you know, they're funneling funds into the same type of program that obviously isn't working.
Now, we've seen a backlash against zero tolerance programs, Lori, where it was apparently too easy, some people said, to get kicked out of school, to get expelled from school. Do you think we had moved too far in that direction at some point, but maybe now overcorrecting?
Well, I just think, you know, we're maintaining the same type of school structure. We are not doing anything different. We're just changing the behavioral approach. We're not changing the academic approach. Mm-hmm.
Lori, thanks a lot for sharing your perspective on that.
And we go next to Sarah in Watertown. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, what is your take on this?
I'm an educator. I teach at a high school, but I've also taught at preschool level all the way through high school. And I believe that this is a great initiative. I think that if you're an educator that's able to create a positive environment, I think that it's better to have students in the classroom instead of alone at home or, you know, not, you know, getting the education within the classroom setting.
And is this the kind of approach that you would choose to take yourself?
Yes. For me, I'm a firm believer in building relationships with students. So I'm also lucky to live in a community that I have experienced support from. So with that, I feel like... when I create a positive environment, kids want to be in my classroom. So when they're acting out, it's a child. They're expressing some sort of stress, and I think it's appropriate to teach them how to respond to that stress instead of excluding them from an educational experience.
Sarah, appreciate that call.
We're taking your calls on behavior and discipline in Wisconsin classrooms. You can join in at 800-642-1234. There's been concern, maybe too many kids being suspended from school, maybe even expelled from school, an effort in some districts to keep them in the classroom, creating new concerns. Maybe that's creating disruption for all the other kids there. How do you think the lines should be drawn? What's your experience as a student, a teacher, a parent yourself? 800-642-1234 is the number. Nick joins us next in Madison. Nick, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a middle school student at Thomas Jefferson Middle School in Madison. And I just want to say firsthand about how tough it is with the Lori experiences. It's pretty hard to learn and with all these disrupting kids. And I really don't like this, behavior education plan.
So, Nick, you see these students that might otherwise have been suspended or taken out of the classroom, staying in the classroom, making it hard for you and other students to learn?
Yes. And there was one incident in which probably a kid could have gotten expelled for it. He pushed a pregnant teacher just out of frustration. And he got like a 3-day suspension, but it was really like most people were in the school, mainly teachers and other staff. But some students were also saying that it should have been in expulsion automatically.
Nick, thanks for calling in and sharing your firsthand experience. Next, we go to Jenny in Deerfield. Jenny, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to speak from experience. I was in high school. And I did get suspended for a short period of time, and it did nothing for me. It did not teach me that I should be acting differently or doing anything differently. It just made me excited that I got to sit home and do whatever I wanted all day. And I think that's just a very outdated approach to dealing with students who need a different type of environment to learn and grow and be able to interact with society. If you take them out of that experience, they're never going to learn how to interact with their peers or authority figures or anything like that.
Jenny, thanks a lot for sharing your experience.
And thank you for all the calls. And remember, you can keep this conversation going on the Central Time Facebook page.